Let's just, it's been a while, hasn't it, since we have been in our maps anyway. And so, got to kind of jog our memories just a little bit. So I think it would be appropriate for us to just give ourselves a little test to see what we are remembering. All right, what is this body of water here? And as I ask, if you know it, go ahead and say it. Mediterranean Sea or the Great Sea. There's a bigger picture of where we're looking at in our world. You can go back out. I like to do that so you get a perspective of where we are at when you look at a globe. So you just see where we're at and now we're looking, we're kind of looking down a little bit from top, but certainly, of course, we have Africa down here, and Europe and Asia. So come back in here. Look at this part of the world. Of course, we have the Mediterranean Sea over here on the, you know, on this western side over here, the bank over here. And Israel is considered this area around in here. I always, you guys see this well when I shine it on there? Glad you can, because I can barely see it. Again, that's my color blindness, but I have a hard time seeing it. I got to look for it. I start shining it and I got to find it. But so this is the area in which we're talking about right here. And this is called Israel. Okay, Israel in the, not always in the Old Testament, but of course it was Israel, of course, as God's people came in here. And of course, Moses and then Joshua led the people up. They should have been there a long time before, but they ended up wandering around down here in the wilderness, and then they end up coming up this way on the eastern side of things and coming up and around the... What's this body of water here? All right. A number of seas that you can call it, but the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. Anyway, we have this, they came up around here and then they crossed what river right here? Jordan River. So they crossed right in here. Anybody remember the city that they crossed into, which that city, they crossed right in here and it would be this city right here. Anybody know what that city is? Yep, here's the city that they marched around 10 times. Now, this is probably bigger than the Jericho was back then, but Jericho. So they came up, and here's where they crossed, and then, well, somewhere in here, and then they crossed into Jericho. Let me come back out. Out here, just a little bit back to Israel. Okay, come across the top of the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea, and you get to the... shading darkest, and the reason for it being dark is because, not because it's necessarily some big city, but it's because it's the mountains, okay? So this is the biggest part of the mountains in this region right in here, and there is a city on the eastern side of these mountains. Anybody remember what that city is? That's Jerusalem, okay? So anytime you can quickly find Jerusalem by just looking on the eastern side of all these mountains. So there's Jerusalem. And then you come down just a little bit to the south and we find what other city? Little city. Bethlehem. Okay, so there's that. David started in Hebron. And he began his reign in here. And a lot of David's running around was in this area. And over in here, David and Goliath takes place somewhere right in here. And so a lot of what you learn considered Judah, of course, the divided kingdom. We had Judah in the south. And what in the north? This is the divided kingdom. Israel. Then we have Israel up in this area. Okay, so it's divided. And then in Jesus' day, this area was called what? Judea, okay. Judah before Judea now. And then there was a middle section in here, which was called, okay, some, Yeah, this is the land of the Samaritans, Samaria. And then up north, this was a region. It's the region of what? Galilee. Okay. What is this? Sea of Galilee. Okay. Tiberias. Let's come a little bit closer in here. Okay, so this is Galilee. And Jesus did most of his time in his ministry in Galilee. Okay, of course, Jesus came from Galilee as he grew up in Nazareth. And then, of course, you know, his parents went down. He came back up, was raised in Nazareth, and then began his ministry. So Nazareth was there. By the way, you're probably saying, where's all the names that you normally have on there? For some reason, my computer wasn't converting all the names. So we're just... computers do that every once in a while, you know. The best thing you need is a sledgehammer, you know. And so this week, one time, Carol and Ed were in the other room, and I went in there and I told Carol, tell Ed to get a sledgehammer. Now, my computer was acting up and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, I have no idea why the names aren't here. They're just not here. So anyway. So we have the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spent a lot of his time here. Anybody remember the city that's right here? Capernaum. Okay, Capernaum. And we've gone through some stories of Jesus in Capernaum and in that area. Oh, I could quiz you over all kinds of things this afternoon. But I think we're going to stop right there. I'm going to give you some new things, okay? Where did I tell you to go in your Bibles? Matthew 16, is that where I told you? Let's back up. Go to Matthew 15 just to catch up. When we're looking in step with Jesus, you already know that we're not going over every story. The topic of this series is in step with Jesus, and the point is what? It's following in his footsteps, which is it just retracing geographically? No. When we go to a new geographic region, we're looking at an event that we can learn from so that we can follow in his steps, okay? So I say that because there's a number of, I'll read through chronologically some events that happened, and not that there's nothing we can learn of Jesus in the passage, but trying to come up with another application of what Jesus did, we find Jesus doing the same things in most places. And so, for that reason, we move past some of the stories that were very familiar, okay? That we've already done some things like that. So, as you go back to, well, let's look at Matthew 15 and verse 21. We've been reading through some, we went through some stories, and I believe last time we met, we looked at some hypocrisies of the Pharisees and them thinking through the external, and yet what's most important did we learn? What does Jesus say is most important, the external or the internal? Keeping in mind, though, what? Is the external important? Well, of course it does, because the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life, okay? And some people in our day and age have twisted the thinking of, well, Jesus focused on internals. Yes, he did, and he also said that internals produce externals, okay? And so you cannot forget the external and say, well, it's just a matter of my heart. The matter of fact is we can a lot of times tell people's hearts because of what is on the outside. It doesn't mean that we can always conclude that. We've got to be careful from being judges. However, the Bible does teach us that what's in is going to come out, and it's just a matter of time. And Jesus has been going back and forth with the Pharisees about all their problems. And so that's where we're at in the beginning of Matthew chapter 15. And then we get to verse 21, okay? And by the way, Jesus, let me get my pointer here. And we've just recently left Jesus in this area right in here, okay? And then we get to chapter 15, and where does Jesus head in verse 21? Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Okay, where's Tyre and Sidon? All right, maybe some of you know where that is. This little finger that steps out right here, that is Tyre. Okay? And if you take your ruler and measure, not really, you'll only come up with a couple inches if you have a map, but it's more than a couple inches, I assure you. That is approximately 30 miles, 30 to 40 miles, depending on exactly where you start your measuring and where you finish that. But probably the trip that Jesus took, it says that Jesus went thence and departed to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Okay, so we have this here. And then if we come in a little bit closer, just so that you can see a little bit more specific. Again, they were labeled and they left me. So now I've got to recognize it just from my own personal. I believe that this is Sidon, okay? So let me come back out here. So here we would have Tyre and Sidon, okay? Now, this was about 30 miles, and then this is, I think, about 20 miles. It could be a little less than that. I believe it's, but it's still a little hike up there, okay, along the coast. So Jesus spends some time up in here, and at this point in time, we have the story of the Syrophoenician woman. This was a woman. She was not a Jew. This was a lady that, you know, she had an issue. She had a daughter that was vexed with the devil. We're not going to get into all that story, but this is where Jesus deals with this situation. So I didn't want to pass it up. We'll just go through this, and that's where Jesus spends a little bit of time. All right, where does Jesus go from here? So we have, and the reason I don't exactly know what this is, I think that Sidon is about 50 miles from the Sea of Galilee, and Tyre is about, maybe the 30. So I don't really know. Maybe some of you know your geometry and you can, do your triangle there and figure out, a squared plus b squared equals c squared and all that stuff. And you can figure out what that is. But yeah, geometry, kids, okay? That's why you know it. So that someday when you get up here preaching, you know how far Tyre and Sidon is because, okay, never mind. Forget that. Okay, so that's the distance, though, that we're talking about. So then we have, let me come back out here. Let's go to we're in chapter 15. Just go down to verse 29. And he doesn't give us a lot. We have Matthew chapter 15 and verse 29 through 31. And the parallel passage is Mark chapter 7. Actually, Mark chapter 7 is going to give us a little bit more detail of where Jesus went from Tyre and Sidon. You notice in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 29, it says, came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. But I want you to go to Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse 31 is going to tell us what area of the Sea of Galilee, because honestly, Jesus could have went to any side. Now, probably you're thinking that he went to the estate on the western side of things, because he spent most of his time on the western side. But Mark chapter 7 and verse 31 tells us different. Verse 31, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. What's Decapolis? If you do a little bit of etymology. Look at your words. What's deca mean? Ten. What about polis? City. Okay. How many cities? Ten cities. This is a Greek thing here. Let me come back out. It's a region, kind of like Galilee is a region. Galilee is not a specific city. It is a region. There is a region of Decapolis. Okay? And so there are 10 cities that were here. Decapolis is going to be, and these are not, okay, this is fuzzy lines here, but I'm just going to circle. The area of Decapolis is this area, okay? And the 10 cities inside that Decapolis is in here. Okay, so when we read that he went to the coast of the Sea of Galilee and Decapolis, where is he going to be? He's going to be somewhere right over here. And it's this area in which we read through just more miracles through Matthew 15, 29 to 31. It just says that the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed. And in Mark chapter 7, it refers to a deaf individual. But again, this individual, and he had a speech impediment. Again, this is just Mark 7. I'm just going through a few things. We're not focusing our time here, but he healed this individual. And then we get to Matthew chapter 15. And here we have what? We've been in Matthew 15. Go to verse 32. And what event is here? Something that we've already looked at. Feeding of the 4,000 people. Not to be confused with the feeding of the 5,000. What do you think? Do you think they were two different events? Yes. In fact, even Jesus himself refers to both events in the same verse. We'll get to that here in just a moment. So we have the feeding of the 4,000. And what was the difference of the feeding of the 4,000, feeding of the 5,000, besides the amount of people and the amount of fish and loaves and the details? Almost the same story though, right? And we could come up with that. But can anybody tell me about the audience? The feeding of the 5,000, the audience is primarily Jewish. The feeding of the 4,000 being on this side and in Decapolis, the audience is primarily Gentile. Okay? Just food for thought. Okay? And somebody suggested this when Jesus ended officially, not officially, but his public ministry with the Jews. He had a great feast of 5,000 when he officially ended his time with the Gentiles. Again, it doesn't mean that he doesn't deal with these people anymore, but he spent time in the region. He ended with a feast of 4,000, and when he ended his time with his men, his disciples, he ended it with a feast in the upper room. Don't know if there's much to that, but it's just something that was brought up. Okay. All right. Look at Matthew 15, Matthew 15, verse 39. Jesus is putting on some miles, honestly. And again, I point out that you read a verse or two, and in your mind, you're not thinking about all this mileage that Jesus is putting on. But you add up, you know, from here to over here and back down and around, and then, you know, going across again or walking around or whatever the case. Anyway, we find in verse 39, and he sent away the multitude and took a ship and came into the coast of Magdala. And look at Mark 8:10. I know I'm having you jump back and forth between Matthew and Mark. You ever read a name of a place in the scriptures and have no clue where it was? That's why I'm teaching you, okay? So that you, when you read this word, you say, Magdala, wherever that is. All right, you ought to know where Magdala is. You say, why do I need to know where Magdala is? Because these are the things that pertain to our Savior. And if they pertain to Jesus, then we ought to know where it is at. Magdala. Let's come in closer. Anybody know what this city is right here? Again, where we're at. This is Tiberias. Yep, this is Tiberias. Seaside city of Tiberias, much larger. Magdala is just go up the coast. And this is the area of Magdala, right in here. There's not much there today. There's a lot of ruins. I think there's a current city right now. I don't know if they call it this, but in English, this is, if you look, I think this is called Magadan or something right in here. Even though that's not necessarily where the original city was, some of the ruins right in here, this is what they believe to be a little bit more of where Magdala was. Okay? So you read Magdala. It had another name, and that's in Mark chapter 8 and verse 10. If you didn't know where Magdala, you certainly don't know where Dalmanutha was. But guess what? Same place. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Okay, so now Jesus has come across the sea and now is kind of on that point there, that western point of the Sea of Galilee. And it is here where we find ourselves, Jesus addressing more issues with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, so there's your mapping for the day, and I trust that helps you, maybe just give you a little bit more of an education of where things are at. Let's close the maps now, Roger. We're done with the maps, and let's get into a little bit of the. What Jesus is leading toward. Obviously, he always did things when he was in these places, and so we need to know more about this. Now, when we get to this area, right away, these religious leaders are seeking signs. Okay, they're wanting proof. Even though I don't really believe they're wanting proof. Had Jesus given proof already that he was God? Absolutely. He had done miracles. He had done so many things to them, or for them, and they needed another sign. And honestly, they were just trying to tempt him and test him to do more. And I don't. Would anything ever happen that they would be convinced? I don't think so. You cannot go out and try to prove to people that Jesus exists, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Honestly, it comes by what? They've got to have faith. They've got to trust what the scriptures say and believe it. You try to prove everything and there will be all kinds of things. But anyway, these men trying to prove. All right. I just want to look at a few things, though, as Jesus confronts these people. He ends up talking to his disciples. I told you to go to Matthew 16:6, and that's where we're going to be at now. And let's back up to verse 5. Let me read just a little bit, and I want you to see some things. By the way, the parallel passages that we're going to be looking at here, we're not really going to jump into Mark's, but Matthew 16, 5 to 12, and paralleled in Mark 8 with 13 to 21, okay? So there's the parallels. Again, I don't know if since we've started this, you've gone out and gotten yourself a chronological Bible. I recommend Reese's. They all have discrepancies, a little bit of exactly where, but it's not big, it's just little stuff. But chronologically, I think he does a good job, but it'd be good for you at some point in time to read through the Bible chronologically. Anyway, so here we are, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 5, and he's been dealing with the Pharisees. Again, even as we just looked at those last passages that they can't believe, he refers to them. He said, you guys look at the skies and the clouds, and you can tell things by that, but you can't even look at a miracle that I do and tell anything. And so self-condemning there as they see what they're doing. just getting done with the Pharisees, then he turns to his disciples. And that's what I want you to see. And really what we're going to look at is just a couple things of how to be, I hesitate to say a good leader, because some of you say, I'm not a leader, even though as Christians we're all leaders. We ought to be. Learners and leaders. It's part of discipleship. You need to be a learner and you need to be a leader at the same time. How does leadership, though, deal with people that they're trying to help? And I want you to see, as Jesus is trying to help his disciples, understand some things. All right. The first pathway that we're going to look at is the area of prudence. The pathway of prudence, as Jesus warns his disciples. Look at chapter 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now just think what had just happened not long ago. Feeding of the 4,000, right? And maybe we could say the feeding of the, who knows how many thousand, you know, multiply it by 3, 4, or 5. Who knows how many people were really there. But the feeding of all that miracle of the bread had gone through the 5,000, the 4,000. Was bread an issue for Jesus? No. He could bring bread out at any time he wanted to, in any way. But the disciples forgot to take bread. That's just what it says. They forgot to take bread. It's not saying that what Jesus says is telling them because of the bread. I don't know where the thoughts that Jesus had, but notice what Jesus uses as he knew what the disciples were thinking. Okay? And Jesus said unto them, so they forgot to take bread, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Did he know that they were thinking of the bread? Well, of course, he's God and he's all-knowing. But it just simply says they forgot to take bread. And then he says, beware of the leaven. Kind of interesting how he brings this illustration up about the Pharisees, and he refers to bread or leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. You know, the disciples were very, very earthly minded, physically minded, food minded people. Okay, and so they're thinking of bread all the time. They're thinking of food all the time. And he talks about leaven, and he's not even thinking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's like, he's talking to us because we forgot bread. You know what? What's he going to do? And so they reasoned among themselves, it's because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? He said, is that really the issue? I wasn't talking about bread. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets he took up? Neither the 7 loaves. Okay, I said 1 verse, it's 2. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets he took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. All right. So there's the story. I think it's self-explanatory. You've got the earthly-minded disciples forgetting bread, and Jesus saying, beware of the leaven. He's just going back, talking about that. Anything together? I don't know. Doesn't seem to indicate that it was, but the earthly-minded disciples immediately link it, and he's confronting us about bread. Jesus says, no. I'm not confronting you about bread. I'm talking to you about the Pharisees. Okay, now Jesus is taking the situation and he's leading these learners underneath him. I want us to see just a few things before we're dismissed this afternoon on how ways in which we can help our disciples, people that we're with. It could be parents and children. It could be a boss and people under us. It could be a round table leader and his people. It could be anything, but all of us are leaders of some sort in some case. What can we learn of how Jesus dealt with these people? How did he get some things that they didn't understand so that they could understand? What were some of the things that he did? Notice of what he did and how he loved and cared for these disciples enough that he warned them. He said, here's something dangerous that you need to be aware of. We have the number one, the pathway of prudence. Jesus warns his disciples of dangerous things that were currently taking place or currently out there. What was going on in the world? And so Jesus takes a moment to stop and say, okay, time out, disciples. You're here. You just witnessed what I just did. Now you're listening to all these Pharisees, you know, try to find signs and this and that. And they want to see more miracles. So try to prove, you know, whether I am or probably am not God. They want to do all this stuff. And he says, disciples, teaching lesson. And the first thing that he uses is I don't want to say technique. He uses the principle of I want to stop and warn you about what is out there. I want to tell you about something that is dangerous. He says, take heed and beware. The words take heed mean to take a look around and see with your eyes what's really going on. You know, it's amazing that we sometimes need to stop and take a look at what's going on. I'm not encouraging you to turn on the television and watch the news and take a look at everything that's taking place, okay? I'm not telling you to do that, but you know, we do need to see what's going on so that we know what is right and how to live and how should we respond to this. Current issues, things that are going on, and what do we do with this? What is a Christian supposed to do? A leader ought to be one that would try to warn and help people. Okay, folks, there's something going out there, and I want you to be aware of this because it looks good, but there's a lot of difficult and bad things that are coming along with the package that you need to understand. Folks, we need to be that kind of leaders to our people. You know, whether it's our children or whatever, we need to tell them, all right, good teaching time, children. Look at what we're seeing, okay? Good time to stop and say, now, what's wrong with this? What's right with that? What should a Christian ought to do? What do some Christians do that we know that's not right? It's taking time out to warn the people that are around us that God has put into our lives that they take note. Take heed, he said, and beware. The word beware is to be on guard. You need to be careful. You know, a good leader is going to tell his people that are under him to be careful. Be careful that is out. What's out there? You know what, kids, church, table, people, you need to be careful with this problem that's out there. It's good to tell people about the things that are difficult out there. Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs really deals with this, but Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Here we have the prudent individual. Prudence is being very shrewd in a good way. It's taking the time to analyze all what's going on. Prudence. Dads, you need to be prudent dads. Let's not just take a look at the face value. Okay, can I go over so-and-so's house? Let's step back and let's look at the big picture. What's this going to mean? What's the practical applications of this and implications? What do we need to do? And sometimes young people understand this when your mom and dad step back and say, well, let's look at this. Why do we got to look at it again? What? All I want to do is I just ask them this. Listen, your parents have been given the responsibility to step back and be a prudent parent. And to analyze the situation and to take heed and to discern what is really going on. And then parents need to step in and say, okay, here's the situation. There's danger here. You know what? Young people don't always see the danger. Learners don't always see it. But there's a responsibility of that leader to step in then and say, okay, we have to analyze all what's going on here. Let's take a full look at it. That's prudence. Used, I think, one time in the Old Testament and then just a couple times in the New Testament is a word that's parallel to that. And I've told you this several times. Anybody remember the word? Circumspect. Okay, see then yet you walk circumspectly. Just think about that word. What's circum? All the way around, 360 degrees. Spect, glasses, eyes, vision. Circumspectly, look around. and analyze not just this little part, but the whole picture. Parents need to do that. Grandparents, any leader needs to take a look at the whole picture and what's going to be, what's good here, what's bad. Okay, the disciples, they don't understand what the Pharisees always talk about. And what does Jesus do? He says, time out. Let's look at the whole picture. Let's look at this. You see, the leaven of the Pharisees, this will get you. You need to be careful. They were the religious leaders. They were the spiritual leaders. They were the ones that knew the law. They knew all this stuff. The disciples could quickly be deceived. Understand as learners. Remember, we're all learners and we're all leaders. Understand as learners, we are all vulnerable to being deceived. Don't ever think that, well, I can handle that. Listen, none of us can handle it. We've got to be careful with what's out there. We've got to make sure that we do our due diligence in checking things out before we just jump into things. Leaders, be careful. Parents, be careful. Young people, be careful and allow your parents to be that. Praise the Lord for parents that are discerning, that want to look, because they're trying to look out for your protection, for your hurt, and what could come, things that could blindside you and you don't see. That's what God has given to us. And God has given pastors to a church to help us see things that we don't see. It's nothing special about the dad or the mom or the pastor or the leader. It's God-given responsibility that He gives. And we need to learn to take it. Okay, I've got to think about this. And that's what Jesus does with these disciples. He says, you need to understand. He says, be prudent. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. In other words, his father says something and he says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's living in the olden age, okay, olden days. Fool despiseth his father's instruction. A fool is the one that says, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Oh, so that puts it in the hands of the young person now. The person that is going to listen to it is also considered prudent. They might not have the ability to see, but they're looking at their authority that does, and they're taking it as face value. Okay, they're telling me this is dangerous. I'm taking it as dangerous also. This is what Jesus is using with these people. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. In fact, that means they welcome it. That's interesting. Young people, they welcome it. That means they want it. They're thankful when somebody warns them of danger. Mom and Dad, thank you so much. I don't understand it, but I'm trusting God that you do. They're thankful for it. Boy, that'd blow the socks off any parent. Have a young person that would believe and put their faith and trust. But God says that that's a prudent person that will get knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Thankful for it. Wow. What can we get? As learners and leaders. Learners, we need to listen. Leaders, we need to give. We need to make sure that we're giving out. Don't become a parent or don't become a leader that's scared to death of warning because we don't want to offend them. That is ungodly. Jesus did it. In His teaching, we ought to do it as well. Be careful. Be careful, church, from this that's out there. Be careful. As leaders, we need to help and encourage people to guard and be careful of things that can hurt them. Again, parents to children, pastor to people, older to younger, teacher to student. I've used this one. This is just an illustration. I'm not preaching on this right now. But I've told you before, what's one of the biggest things out there in people's lives today? It's our connection to the world, right? Whether you're on a cell phone, laptop, or computer, whatever, I'm talking about the internet. Can the internet be used for something helpful? Yeah, can be. Can it be used for something hurtful? Absolutely. Guess what? We need to be careful. And can I say this? Christians, I've told you this so many times, but yet I hear so many people that just Google some thing and they get on some site that you have no idea where you're at. You need to please be careful of the internet. Please be careful of the internet and what you're reading. Please be careful of the internet because there's so much junk on there, even about spiritual things. Don't study your Bible by just Googling something because you have no idea who you're reading. And to tell you the truth, you might be reading the perspective of somebody that's not in our circles at all. And you could read into the wrong theology, wrong doctrine. Oh, and you just, oh, this is so good. And I've heard people right here in this church say, Pastor, this is so good. This preacher is so wonderful. It's just the same down our lines. And I looked at it and I said, oh, no. This is not right. There's wrong theology here, and we read into it. We got to be so careful. You got to be so careful with just going to some place and picking up a commentary that you have no idea the background of the theologian that's there. Be careful. Go to your pastor and ask your pastor, Pastor, I want to do a little research on this passage. Do you have any recommendations? Because I can tell you some guys to go to, and I can tell you, please don't read that person because you're going to read some things that aren't very, they're not going to be good, and they're going to steer you in the wrong direction. Got to be careful. So that's an illustration. Well, that's good. And you ought to take that as like, okay, I'm going to listen. Not like, come on, what does he know? Beware, beware, be careful, Jesus says. Be careful. There's something to lose. Here's another example, and this is real. You know, the internet's real. Be careful to reactionary responses. What do I mean by that? Something happens this way, and that is not good. What's the human natural response to? That is good. That was hurtful. That was destructive. What do we tend to do? Go to the other end of the pendulum. And guess what? It doesn't mean that the other end is perfect either. And as a pastor, I want to say, be careful with being reactionary, that you look at one thing that's not good and just going, well, if that's not good, then that must be good. That does not necessarily mean that it's right. You need to be very careful to find what should be the means in which we look for what's right. The other side? We look at the medium, which is, what does God say? It doesn't matter. You know, the opposite side does not mean that it's right. And many, many people get hurt, offended, whatever about this, that legitimately is bad, and they don't think, and they just decide, well, if that's the way this church is, I'm going to find a church that's not that way. And there are churches that are founded upon those same principles, and people do that, and they just decide, I don't like that, and so I'm going to go to the other end of the extreme. And I'll tell you that many times that's just as bad, if not worse. There's nothing biblical about the other end of the pendulum, so to speak. What's right is to find out, what does God say about it? And that's where we land. What does God say about it? And you know what? Maybe it's right here. Maybe it's right here. Maybe it's right here. It has nothing to do with this. It has everything to do with this. Okay, now those two examples of some things that I could say people be careful about. But all of us on the leadership side, we need to find things that whatever people God has given to us, that we take advantage of that and say, take heed, beware. Beware. As learners, then we need to take it as, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that admonition. Thank you for that beware. So now that I can steer away, now that I can, stay safe, I can stay on the right path. Beware of the two outsides, okay? So here's something that Jesus does that I think that we ought to follow. Let's follow Jesus with prudent leading. Notice, look at verse 8, Matthew 16, 8. I know some of you are probably getting tired. Afternoon services are good in some ways and they're bad in another way, okay? You're getting ready for your afternoon nap. Okay, just give me just a couple more minutes here. Look at verse 8. Okay, so he's addressed this issue. He's told them, you need to beware. You need to be careful. And they reason among themselves. And then in verse 8, now what happens? He said, beware, and what did they do? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because... So can you picture Jesus? He looks at them, and he says, you know, they arrive or whatever like that. And he for whatever reason, he decides to tell them, you need to be aware of what's going on here. And they're over here like, we forgot bread. He must be preaching about that. And And while they're talking, what's Jesus doing? You know, I don't know what he's doing. But notice what he says. Which when Jesus what? He perceived what was going on. Now you say, come on, Pastor, he's God, he knows. Right, remember, but I know, but he's a human individual right now, and he perceives, he has perception of what is taking place. They didn't say, well, Jesus, is it because, you know, that we didn't bring bread? No, they're talking, and he perceived it. He could look in, he saw what was going on and said, okay, there's an issue. As leaders, trying to help people, we need to warn people, and we need to, second of all, be perceptive. We need to look at what's going on in their lives and not just take it as outward, but say, you know what, there's an issue here. You are so physical. Let's look at the spiritual. Now, that's what Jesus did here. The point that I want to make to you is we've got to have perception, the pathway of perception. To perceive is to learn to know. It's a process of trying to figure somebody's situation out. Now, I'm not saying that we've got to go figure everything out. I'm going to figure out what Carrie's problems are, and I'm going to go and just... That's not the point. But as a friend of Carrie's, and if he's struggling with certain things, I want to be very perceptive on how I can help him. What does he really need? Does he need me to give him something, or maybe does he need to learn to work for it himself? You know what? We can do all kinds of different things, and any one of them could be right, depending on what God wants. But see, Jesus knew because he perceived what was going on. He took time to step back and kind of like the first point is look at it objectively and say, and we've already talked about this, what's the heart issue? What's really going on? These are just superficial things, but it's coming from this. What's the heart issue? As we deal with people, we need to learn to be perceptive. And sometimes it's not just as soon as we see something face value, jumping in and saying, here's your problem. Maybe it's taking time to step back and to perceive what is going on. Watch for a little while. Pray for a little while. Ask the Lord for a little while. As we see it and as it starts to get confirmed, then we have some perception as we can step in and say, you know what? There's some problems here. And from an outside person, I'm seeing some things that maybe you're not seeing. As a learner, should we take that? Absolutely. I praise the Lord that there's people that God gives in our lives as leaders that help us with perception. You know, sometimes we're blind. We let our things in our own lives get in the way. And sometimes it takes an outside person to step in and say, now listen, I know you don't see it, but I do. And it's pretty clear. And I step back and say, really, I didn't see that. You know what? And I've got to humble myself and say, well, listen, I've got to put myself under my leadership that's saying, you know, we see this. And you need to be careful. Thank the Lord for godly leaders that are willing to perceive. Learners, thank the Lord for them. Leaders, let's learn to perceive. That's what Jesus did with these disciples. He's training these disciples. He steps in and he warns them. Second of all, he steps in, he perceives what's taking place. We need to be perceptive people. And notice his response. He says, does Jesus figure out what the heart issue is with the disciples? Yeah, what is his response? What does he say? O ye of little faith. Did he jump on them for not remembering the bread? What are you guys doing? Don't you know we need to eat? Can you imagine Jesus saying that? He didn't care about the bread. He could make bread at any time. No, he says, oh, ye of little faith. He had perception beyond us. He could see it was a faith issue. It was a faith issue. You're so earthly minded that you are still back. You don't. They didn't have the right perception. He did. So we need to be leaders of perception. And I'll close with the third. Look at verse 9. Notice what he did. He said, do ye not Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets he took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets he took up? What did he do? The pathway of the past, if I could put it that way, to make another P word. The pathway of the past. Notice what he did. When people were struggling with their faith, what did he do? He pointed them to what Jesus had done in the past. Have you ever been here on this earth and living and all of a sudden you fear something and you have a hard time trusting the Lord for it? If we're all honest, every one of us should raise our hands. Yeah, there's times that we fear and we don't trust. And yet I could also ask the question, how many of us have had times when God has so graciously and miraculously shown up and has spoken and he's provided and he's done so many wonderful things and we were so convinced of his leading that we could tell anybody it and we knew it was true. And yet we get into our own situation, we're blinded again and we can't see, and it takes a remembering of the past to remember, wait a second, have you ever been in a situation like this before? Yeah. And what did God do every time? He delivered. Every single time. And Jesus knows that that works. I want you to remember, have you not considered the miracle of the 5,000? Have you not considered the miracle of the 4,000? He remembers, he brings up the past. Brothers and sisters, we can help our learners and the people under us to stop and say, I know you're struggling with this now, but can we just step back into the past and remember what God has done? Oh, we have little faith. If we could live in, you know, it's a negative phrase to say live in the past, right? You look at a person, that father is living in the past. They're going back to their high school days, and that's all they can think of. You know, they're living in the past. I'm not talking about that kind of living in the past, but to live in the past, remembering God's good works, would be a good pathway to follow and live in. Let's live in the past. Let's remember God's good works. And let's tell our disciples, let's tell the learners underneath us, remember when God did this. As parents, we're leading our children. Remember, kids, when God did this. Oh yeah, we forgot about that. You know, when we start to remember what God's done in the past, it helps us for today and tomorrow. Something that Jesus as a leader did, I think that we can learn a lot from Jesus' teaching. We have the pathway of prudence. Take heed. Beware. Let's warn. Let's take it. We have the pathway of perception. Let's make sure that we step back and see what the heart issue is. The pathway of the past. Being reminded of all the good things that God has done. I think that there's some things here from Jesus' teaching and his leading that we can follow in his pathway. As he walked this earth, so we walk this earth. Let's be the same in our paths that Jesus went. Father, would you help us? We need help in all these areas. I can't do it. These people can't do it, but you can help us. Lord, help us to be good learners and good leaders. Help us to know how to deal with people and help people. Help us to be teachable people and take it when somebody else tries to help us. God, thank you for your good word tonight as we look at the geography and yet we look at what you're really doing as you did travel around. Good things, Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us the rest of this day and this week, that you would watch over us, guide us, lead us. May we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.